where is God in the midst of the evil in our lives, the bad things, the painful things, especially when it involves other people maybe hurting us or deceiving us or selling us out? Well, we talk today about that very thing.
Well, I'm going to be preaching a little bit on these lines. You know, many of us through our lives have had really bad things to happen. You agree with that? We can all have our stories of some major things in our lives that we look back on and go, how? Sometimes we say, why? You know, we've had tragedies in our lives, loss of loved ones, our friends gone, maybe an abuse, you know, in your life, lost jobs, maybe a divorce in your life, our friends that you thought were your friends began to stab you in the back. All type of sickness, and the list would go on and on and on. It sounds daunting, doesn't it? Sounds daunting. Here's the thing. Many of these things we experience while we're a Christian. Now, we experience these things while we are children of the King. You know, and not other Christians, they struggle with these things, but but hopefully as Christians, as children of the King, that we have the answers. We're able to walk through things. We're able to walk through things, but we have to trouble sometimes really reconciling this good God, you know, allowing bad things to happen. You know, that question, I'll ask the question in a minute, but, you know, we have these things in our lives again while we're walking with Him. You know, the age-old question is, why does bad things happen to good people? Age-old question. I'm sure every single one of us, if we have not asked that question, we have probably thought about it or heard someone else say it. I could probably ask you to raise your hand, and you're probably would say, yes, I have wondered that, and I have asked that question. It's an age-old question. So I hope today that we might dissect this a little bit. Here's a warning. I'm not so sure that I know understand it fully or know all the ins and outs of it. You know, when the Lord had called me to preach many years ago, something He spoke in my spirit, and that doesn't get me off the hook to be in a deep in the Word. I try to go as deep in the Word as that I can. He says, Tim, be a simple truth preacher. Just try to lay it out there where we are, where we live, and be a simple truth preacher. And there's times that when I come to questions that the Lord speaks in my heart again, I go, Lord, are you sure you want me to preach on this? Because this is a very difficult question that we all have. We struggle with it at times. Would you agree with that? I do. About two or three of you else to do, it seems like, but I like to see a lot of heads nodding. Is that we struggle with these things. So here we go. We're going to try to dissect this. So I'm going to turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37 is going to be on the screen. I want you to stand, if you will, in honor of God's holy word. Genesis 37, 17 through 24. And it says, and I'll set the stage here. Joseph has gone out. His father has sent him out to find his brothers. He goes somewhere. He asks this guy, have you seen my family? You seen my brothers? And this is what the man said. They have gone away, for I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. Sounds great, doesn't it? They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. It's amazing how big God's word is. Here comes this dreamer. Here, come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall see that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Isn't this amazing? Here comes the dreamer. We want to kill him where his dreams won't come true. Isn't that interesting? I'm jealous of him. He's a dreamer. But when Reuben, when his brothers heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, let us not take his life. But Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father.
So when Jesus came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe. The long robe with sleeves that he wore. Traditionally there, let's go back to that one, semester. Traditionally there, it's a coat of many colors. But in the Hebrew originally, it's a long robe with sleeves that he wore. The emphasis here, don't get stuck on that. The emphasis is that his dad gave it to him, and it was important. This robe was very important to him. So let's go. And they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water in it. An interesting story, isn't it? Do you think it's interesting? I think it's interesting. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you how it ministers to our heart. And even with stories like this that seem so hard and so deep with sorrow, so deep in darkness, Lord, as we begin to dive into your word, we know, Lord, this is your word. This is your holy word. And I know it can penetrate our hearts today and show us and lead us and teach us today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, if you have been around the God's Word at all, you will know this a story about that Joseph. But I wanted to tell you a story a little bit. Because one of the things I learned a long time ago when I was saying things like in preaching, well, you know the story. We have so many new Christians in our church. A lot of times they come to say, I don't need to know that story. You need to stop saying, I know that you know that story. And so here is Joseph. He was one of 12 brothers, the next to the youngest son. And Joseph had a dream of him being this great a person. And in this the dream, it showed that his brothers would bow down to him. But sometimes it's good just to keep them to yourselves, your dreams to yourselves. Would you agree with that? Not to fault your dreams. But the brothers did not like this at all. They became very jealous of him. So they began to think of a plan as they saw him coming, as we read. They threw him into this pit. They ripped, this is a special coat off of him that was given by his father, dipped it into blood to take back to their father and say, yeah, he has been killed, he has died. And then they sold Joseph into a slavery. Sounds like a great family, doesn't it? Ooh, sounds like just a loving, good family, doesn't it? They sold him into slavery. They take the coat home, and they give it to the father, and he goes into a deep grief of his son. Well, when they sold him to slavery, we find Joseph in Potiphar's house now. Interesting story there. As he went there, he was finally he worked and worked and worked, and Potiphar saw how wonderful he was. So he gave him the authority over his whole house when he would go on the trips, except for his wife. He says, you can have anything in my house, you can control my house, run my home. He said, but you can't have my wife. But so it says in God's word that Joseph was a good-looking fellow, you know. Joseph and I have a lot in common. He's a good-looking fellow. Right, sweetie? Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah. The rest of you are saying, Tim, move on, please. We don't want to lie in the church. But Joseph was this good-looking fellow. And so Potiphar's wife, who really began to say, hey, I really like this young boy in my house. And so she moved on him several days, and wherever how long it was to come in and have sex with her. I'll just be out of playing today. And Joseph kept deflecting it. He kept deflecting it. No, no. He was about doing the right thing. And so one day she had just come, her passion and her lust came so much that he was trying to get away from her. She grabs his coat. Interesting. Here's another time with a coat. And he's getting away, pulls his coat off as he's running out, getting away from him. Potiphar comes home. And she says, look what he's done. She lied about it. He throws him into prison. Loses again. He's in prison now. Doing his thing. He's an interpreter of dreams. He begins to interpret some dreams. And a Pharaoh needs someone to interpret some dreams for him. Then somebody says, "Hey, I know this guy that's in jail that you really might need." So in the midst of all that, he begins to interpret the dreams, and through that, he finds favor in Pharaoh's eyes. And so as he begins to grow in all of this, Pharaoh actually puts him second in charge of the whole kingdom of Egypt. Interesting story, isn't it? Puts him in charge of everything. I want you to understand this life here. I tell you this story because I really want you to rehear it. If you've never heard it before, I hope you go back to God's Word and really look at it. But Joseph's life was a roller coaster of a life. That's a roller coaster of life. None of this was of his, any of this was really none of his fault. But life, for whatever reason, began to throw him one curveball after another. But the interesting story about Joseph is he kept doing the right thing. Understand? He kept doing the right thing. He kept doing the right thing. Even in the midst of his calamity, he was doing the right thing. Why do good things happen to... Why do bad things happen to good people? Begin to think about that question. It's like when I actually say that to myself, why do bad things happen to me? Because I'm a good person. It almost sounds to me... How egotistical can I be to even ask the question? A lot of times we focus on our circumstances. We focus on how bad things can be. And trust me here, God wants to hear those things. This is not a sermon to tell you to just suck it up, get over it, and just move on. It's just the opposite of all that. But even when we ask the question like, why do bad things happen to good people? In my spirit, my heart, the Lord says, you know, someone called Jesus good. He says, hey, hold, don't call me good. There's only one good, and that's my Father. And so even the question really convicts my heart. It's amazing when things are good or great in our lives, we praise the Lord and don't give it a second thought. But as soon as something goes wrong, we ask that question. When everything is good, we're praising God. We don't give it a second thought that it's coming from the Lord. We don't give it a second thought at all. We're like, "Woo, this is great. This is good." You know, I sing and I praise God. And it's wonderful. But as soon as something, a calamity hits our life, we start saying, "Why me, Lord? Why? What have I done? I'm good. I'm good. I'm righteous. I'm holy. So why?" In Joseph's life, he didn't question God at all. Through it all. It's an amazing story. Amazing story. That we can learn so much from, even the good and the bad. I'll say it again. He did the right thing. He did the right thing. In the moments of, he could have turned and says, "God, hadn't I served you faithfully? Haven't I done what you called me to do? Haven't I done everything you said for me to do?" No. We find that nowhere in God's Word. Nowhere. Nowhere. But for us, for me, there's been times in my life that when it seems like everything's falling apart, I say, "Lord, come on." You know? I've been said, you know, when my daddy passed away. And this thought came through. I questioned God through it all. But this thought did come to my mind. I said, "Here's a man that has served you for over a century. Half a century, I mean." I'm like, "Wow, he's old." And he leaves the world this way? You know, he goes out fishing. I don't need to make us sad or anything. But these are the questions that go through our hearts and minds when something happens, like a calamity happens or something bad. He served you all these years and he goes out this way? You see the point? And we ask these questions, and they're not bad questions, y'all. God can handle it. Okay? Understand this. It's not a question to say, once again, just get over it and just move on. No. God's a big God. And He can handle it. Trust me. He can handle it. But these are the questions that could come to mind. They could come to my heart. You know, and I don't have all the answers to this, but I do have this. We have a free will to choose. God has given us a free will to choose. As a Christian, our motivation is out of love we have for the Lord and others. Listen to this. I want you to listen to this. God is not a puppet master. You know, you're talking about little screens, you know? He's not a puppet master. He's given us the power to choose. He's given us the free will to choose. But there comes consequences sometimes, and that power for us to choose, bad things happen. See, we can't have it both ways. Understand? Lord, I love you. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Lord, it's all good. But as soon as something goes bad, now, why do bad things happen to me? Because I'm doing everything right. We can't have it both ways. It's either He's a puppet master or He's not. Meaning that trust and faith comes in our lives. And even in our calamities, we know where He's at. We know where He's at in the situation. Not to make us sad again, the worst, I think, calamity of my life was when my father passed away. On that post office sidewalk, when I drive by it, almost ever, you know, two, three, four times a week, I look at that spot where my brother finally got a hold of me, my sister was trying to call me, and Randall finally got a hold of me. I look at that spot. Every time I go by, it reminds me of that spot. I look at that spot where I'm standing. And praise God, when I go by, I go, Lord, You sure are faithful. You sure are faithful. I want you to understand this. If God's up there holding the strings, making you move here, making you move here, without us even having any authority to say no, then where's the relationship in that? Where's the trust in that? Where's the faith in that? That means we are a robots. That means nothing will bad happen. But the Lord has given us the power to choose, and we choose out of love. The Lord has put a place in our heart. He is a holy God and only does good and righteousness. This is how Joseph summed up his life at the very end of Genesis. Let's go back again. He never complained. He just did the right thing. How did he know to do the right thing? I'm sure it was the presence of God in his life. He just did the right thing. He kept doing the right thing. In our worst calamity, in our worst hurts, our worst pain, in the midst of it all, there's a loving God. And listen to me today. He sees you. He hears you. He knows where you are in the midst of it all. He knew where I was and my family was when my dad passed away. It didn't catch him off guard. He knew exactly. And at that moment in our lives when things come, we have a choice. It might tear our hearts out. It's difficult. We might struggle. But we know in the end, God is good. Joseph in Genesis 50, verse 20 said this to his brothers. After all this, there was a famine. Let me finish the story. It's a great story. Sold him into Egypt. He's over all of Egypt. There's a famine over in Canaan, so they have to go and move. The brothers go, and they go to Egypt and realize who Joseph is. They're scared. I mean, you need to read the story. I mean, it's an As the World Turns deal here. You know what I'm saying? Or the Young and the Restless deal. You know what I'm saying? Mom don't know this, but Tammy and I, when we were little, we used to sneak in there and watch Young and the Restless. I know. Woo. Sorry, Mama. I mean, it's that type of stuff. They realize that he's over all of Egypt. They're scared half to death. And you should be watching those things. Doesn't mean clarify that. You're scared half to death. Joseph knows they're there. What'd he do? Bring them to me where I can just kill them. There was an urgency in him to see his brothers. There was this urgent heart feel to see his brothers again. He wanted a relationship with his family again. He wanted to see his father again. Here's what happens in our calamities. We often make the wrong decision, and it separates us from those who we love. How many times have you heard of a family losing a child? Then a year later, mom and dad split up. Happens a lot in the counseling world. You read stories after stories. It's in our worst calamities we choose those decisions that separates us. But not Joseph. I'm getting to that scripture. It's really good. He's eager. Finally, the day comes that he reveals himself to them. And in the Word, you're to read it. I mean, he's just like this right here. I can imagine he's just bouncing. I mean, in the Word, you can sense how, I mean, he's excited. He's crying. I mean, he is beside himself. He cannot wait for them to walk in the room where he can reveal. And then it happens, you know, and they're scared half to death, and they want to bow down to him and all that stuff. He says, no, you're my brothers. And it's almost like an ignorance in his heart to say, I forgive you. I forgive you. Why? Because he recognized that life is hard, but God is good. He recognized that my brother sold me, threw me in a pit, poured animal blood all over me, that took my favorite coat. But I choose love. Potiphar's house. I choose love. In a prison. I choose love. See, loving never fails. Understand? Loving never fails. Now to the scripture. He looks at his brothers at the very end of Genesis. He's about to tell them, when I die, you take my bones up from here and you take me back home. Genesis 50, verse 20 says, even though you intended harm to me, listen to what he says. Even though you intended harm to me, listen, God intended it for good. In order to preserve a numerous people, as he is still doing today. Even though you intended harm, even though people have come against me as pastor, people have done this, whatever, through the years, even though you intended harm. It was, my wife has a sweet story. I won't even go into it. Even though someone did something in her spirit one day years ago, intended what this person thought was good, but it intended harm. It harmed her. But through it all, God intended it for good, because she saw right through it, began to get in God's Word, and God's Word began to change her and set her free. And she's the person she is today because she said exactly the same thing. What I'm saying to us today, we have a choice when a calamity comes. Yes, listen to me again. God wants you to cry out to Him however you feel. But I say this in counseling all the time, but don't stay there. Don't camp out there. Is you to express to the Lord how you feel about whatever it is. But I have a saying in counseling all the time. I'll say it again. But just don't camp out there. Just don't stay there. You've got to move on as a believer in Christ. Because we're motivated by love. We're motivated within us by love to be able to love God and to love each other. Even though things seem like they're intended to harm you and harm me, they're intended for that. God says, just let me have it. Just let me have it. Just let me have it. Had a good, really good friend when I was in my teen years. His name was Wayne. He got saved into my dad's ministry. Boy, he could preach. Fiery preacher. Took a church. Church was just booming. Some of the members that were the founding members of the church, it's no lie, went to him and says, why ain't you letting all these new people in our church? Someone said that to Daddy when he took over Snow Hill down there. Why are you letting all these new people come in my church? Did God die? I don't think it's really my church. Well, after a series of things happening to Wayne within the church, man, he was a fire preacher. People were getting saved left and right. One day he walked out the door and said, forget it all. He made the choice just to forget it all and not to do the right thing. I was in Homerville, Georgia when this happened. I ain't gonna tell you why I was there. Got a call. He likes to weld. He had a 50-gallon drum. He was welding. And one of the first things, if you're a welder, I'm not a welder, but I do know this, is you check your drum, make sure there's no other gases in it or anything. He stuck the torch through it. It blew up, hit him right under here, killed him that fast. You say, why do I tell you that story? Do you see the difference in this story and Wayne's story? I'll say these words to you. When calamity comes, whatever it is, if it's a hurt, if someone has hurt you to the very pit of your being, and I see it a lot in counseling, it hurts my heart. I cry tears when people leave. What's your alternative? You know? What's our alternative? Is our alternative like Wayne? My heart aches for him. He's gone. Or is it like, Lord, this hurts. This is taking everything out of me. But Lord, if there's anything in the depths of me to cry out to you, you got to help me. Because I'm hurting. I'm hurting. And Lord, there's anything within me that you can pull out of me, Lord, because I don't want to go over there. I want to stay here with you. Listen to, even in your worst calamity, you got to understand this. God is working behind the scenes. He was working all along. It didn't catch him off guard. He's working all along behind the scenes. We don't even know he's realized he's working. Why? Because he loves us and he cares for us and he's always working behind the scenes. And Brother John, I'm going to bring you up because me and you talk a lot, you know, and Maxine gone, I remember that day. And I look what God has done in your life. You chose. Lord, I'm hurting. I don't understand this. I don't know, but Lord, what other alternative I have? So many times, Brother John, and he's crying, I hug his neck. But guess what? He's still here. And he says, him, it's the only regret I heard him say was, I wish I had moved to the Lord when she was still alive than I have now. But praise God, you're here now. And our Christian maturity is our theme this year. If we want to continue to mature in Christ, when someone sows a bad seed in us, we got to learn just to throw it right back out. Not at them, but throw it out. Understand? Our thing is, boom, boom, you know? Mm-mm. That was pretty good, wasn't it? Not that. I wanted to do that every now and then. God's love will see you through. Jesus embodied this while he was here. He showed us how to handle calamity. Every turn he had, people were just... And what do? Love. Love. David Wilkerson, when he went into the streets of New York in the gangs, Nicky Cruz looked at him and says, "You know, I could cut you up in 1,000 pieces. And David Wilkerson turned and looked at him and says, "Yeah, but every little piece will be screaming out, 'I love you, Nicky. I love you, Nicky.'" Which one are you going to choose today? Which one? Are we going to raise a hallelujah in the midst of our storms? Says, "Tim, I can't hardly sing. Did I want to sing when my daddy passed away?" Boy, I did. I lay on the couch for 3 straight days in the morning. How did I tell you? And I screamed. And I screamed, but I cried and cried and cried. After 3 days, the Lord said, in his sweetness, I guess, "You had enough?" "Seriously?" I said, "Yes, sir. I think I'm good." He says, "Good. Now get up. Get up. It's time. It's time. Listen to me. Don't run. But run to Jesus. Run to him. You just might have a calamity. I might have one this week. And what's so beautiful about it, I know I'm stretching a little bit here. The reason I preach a gospel that is relational and that we need to be a congregation, a family, because the time I got to the hospital where my daddy was, no, there was 25, 30 people walking to the door. You know? Walking to the door. Hugging, praying, weeping, crying. Which one are you going to choose today? Understand.
So thanks for joining us today. We hope that in the coming weeks ahead, as we continue along this path of maturity, we can place into perspective that God may even have a purpose for those bad things that happen. So, how do we treat them? Where do we turn in the midst of them? Ultimately, we turn to Him in times of pain and suffering and surrender. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great week.